Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
May God bless Ted Kennedy, and may he rest in eternal peace.
I've always tried to be a faithful Catholic, Your Holiness, and though I have fallen short through human failings, I've never failed to believe and respect the fundamental teachings of my faith.
But when it came to issues like defending innocent human life from abortion, he was not consistent at all with the Catholic faith he professed.
The bad news is we are in a post-denominational age. The good news is we are in a confessional age. Old institutions are tottering and teetering. The future belongs to those who dare to confess their dogma.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
You know, it's true. If you turn on talk radio, and talk radio is so much the talk of people's concern nowadays, you will hear predominantly a conservative voice. I mean, it seems as though those attempts to bring something other than a conservative voice to talk radio have really fallen flat, haven't they? Why is this? And does this really call for the government to intervene here and bring some balance into the message of this very popular medium? We're going to talk about government intervention into media affairs for the first 15 minutes of the program today with Colleen Carol Campbell. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 3rd of September. If you have questions or comments, you can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Talkback at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, talkback at issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Dr. Thomas von Hagel will join us in a few minutes to talk about Gregory the Great, remembered by the church today. And then I got a question for you. I want your answer to it. The question is, should the government intervene and protect a Muslim girl who has converted to Christianity? She claims her father is threatening to kill her according to Islamic law. Should the government step in and protect her? We'll have the story for you in about a half hour here on Issues, Etc. Then I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Colleen Carol Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd.
It's obvious that talk radio is dominated by the conservative voice. Why not some government regulation to bring a little balance to the content?
Well, because I think if you look at the overall media picture, the balance very much tilts toward the liberal end. Talk radio is dominated by conservatives, but that's a market-driven phenomenon, and I think it's largely in response to the fact that liberals basically have control of the mainstream media, not to mention, of course, academia and Hollywood. Of course, the big three TV networks, all of the major news magazines, just about every daily newspaper in the country, in terms of their editorial pages and their general slant on the news, tend to lean left. And, of course, liberals have all of their own bloggers and online opinion outlets. And this is not, you know, simply conservative paranoia. There's been study after study beginning in the early 80s documenting coverage of stories, the personal views of journalists, the way journalists pick stories and don't pick stories, their religious views, their social views, their political views. And on just about every measure, they have consistently come out to the left of the American public, which I think explains why conservatives have found their niche in talk radio. It's sort of the one place that you can hear a different point of view. And I think it's very interesting that liberals who have so much domination of the rest of the media scene can't stand that there's one little segment that they don't control. And I think bringing in Uncle Sam to rectify this supposed imbalance is a terrible idea for all sorts of reasons, but just beginning with the fact that the government has no legitimate interest in trying to change news consumers' consumption habits based on the fact that Uncle Sam thinks you ought to listen to somebody a little more liberal.
What is actually being suggested here? I've heard a lot of hype and a lot of demagoguery on both sides of this, but what's actually being suggested by way of regulation?
Well, there have been several politicians on the left who've openly advocated a revival of the Fairness Doctrine, which was a failed federal policy attempting to bring so-called balance, but what it really had was a chilling effect on broadcasters who, for every time they aired one side of an issue, they had to stick someone on the air who aired voiced the other. It didn't tend to come out balanced at all, but in fact tended to make broadcasters shy away from discussing difficult issues altogether. And most journalists, even those who lean pretty far left in their political views, think that's a bad idea and also just very difficult to enforce. But while the Fairness Doctrine may not be revived anytime soon, partly because conservatives are pretty alert to it now, I think there still is reason to be concerned, and one reason is the recent appointment of a man named Mark Lloyd. He's a communications lawyer who's been named Chief Diversity Officer at the Federal Communications Commission. And to get an idea of where he's coming from, his job, of course, being to enforce diversity and use the FCC as a means of kind of watching the airwaves and media in general and looking to expand opportunities for diversity. But he was one of the co-authors on a very controversial 2007 report that came out from the left-leaning George Soros-funded Center for American Progress, which talked about the need for government regulation to rectify what these co-authors described as a structural imbalance of political talk radio. And among the ideas that they came up with was for the FCC to much more strictly regulate the content of radio programs to decide if they are serving the public interest, a pretty broadly defined standard that could very much fall prey to the individual biases of the regulators. And then those radio stations, and the report made it pretty clear they had in mind conservative broadcasters, that didn't meet this so-called public interest standard were to be fined, hefty fines, that would then go into the coffers of the public broadcasting establishment. And we're talking, they estimated $100 to $250 million would be transferred basically from conservative radio stations, earning their keep by attracting listeners, to the public broadcasting establishment, which again, on all of these studies we've seen for decades now, leans pretty far to the left in terms of political and social views that are expressed there and the lack of conservative views expressed. And this was to rectify what Lloyd and his co-authors believe is an imbalance, but of course, I think for more neutral observers, it was clearly to change a market-driven phenomenon to make it more amenable to liberal broadcasters who, frankly, have not been able to make it in the free market, as we saw with the failure of outlets like Air America, which just simply have not been able to compete on the level of more conservative broadcasters.
I often wondered about that. That was kind of an ill-fated attempt, and everyone's instincts who work in media said, this ain't going to work. But why do you think an attempt to actually, in a commercial way, bring another voice, that is a liberal voice, to talk radio in a nationwide way, why do you think it failed?
For starters, NPR. I mean, we already have a liberal voice in nationwide radio, and that's what your average political and social liberal is listening to already. So why turn off NPR to hear the same thing on Air America, perhaps less intelligent version of it on Air America? For another reason, it's that same domination of the market that I referred to earlier. When you've got the three major broadcast networks, you've got MSNBC, you've got just about every news magazine and newspaper in the country leaning left, there's really not much of a market share left to attract to Air America's broadcast. So I think the market is saturated with liberal opinion, and I think that's why conservative radio has flourished, because it's just one of the few places you can hear a different point of view.
Does this in part also explain, we've only got a minute here, Colleen, the apparent, perhaps I'm not announcing too soon, the demise of newspapers?
Well, I think there is a lot of relevance to all of this in terms of, we know that it's been difficult for newspapers for a number of reasons, some of them related more to the economy and the cost of print and all of that. But there absolutely, I think, is a frustration among many readers. They get the sense that they're not getting the full story, and they are increasingly turning to online outlets to get their news and to hear about stories they just don't read about in the mainstream media and in these newspapers that are often very much dominated by journalists who sort of see the world in one way, leaning left, and just don't consider stories worthy of coverage if they don't fit that worldview. So, yes, I think this is part of newspapers' problem, and it's equally disconcerting that the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, now wants to get involved in that as well, and is talking about putting on workshops in December, the Obama administration, that would help look at government policies that would help save this old media establishment. I don't think this is Uncle Sam's role at all, and I think it's pretty scary when the federal government starts deciding which newspapers and radio stations they're going to prop up and which ones they're going to allow to compete fairly. I think it's very inappropriate for the federal government to be messing with any of this, not only because it's not fair in terms of the market, but it's a bad idea for a free press to get entangled with Uncle Sam.
Colleen Carroll Campbell is a fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. You can check out her columns under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Colleen, thank you again.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about Gregory the Great. Not very many in church history are referred to as the Great, but Gregory is. He's the Bishop of Rome. He would be Pope in this sense. 6th and 7th century theologian, launcher of missions, teacher of the church, and the namesake for Gregorian chant, very influential in the worship life of the church in the early church in those centuries. Dr. Thomas von Hagel will be our guest from Concordia University, Chicago. Then I want your answer to this question during the last half hour. Should the government intervene to protect a teenage girl converted from the Muslim religion to Christianity? She alleges she's been threatened by her father in an honor killing. He said he'll kill her for becoming a Christian. We'll be right back. Audio open lines in 20 minutes.
A new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chelada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that Todd, Jeff, and Craig really do have faces for radio on Facebook. Issues Etc. on Facebook. Another way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Facebook.com/issuesetc.
Here's what Pastor Bill Swirla had to say on a recent Issues Etc. broadcast about the new Lutheran Study Bible.
What we've had in the past is a kind of a Lutheran revision of an NIV study Bible, so there's always a certain yes, but character to it. This is done by Lutheran theologians and exegetes, and I think it's something that we can use confidently in our Bible studies and home devotions and other places.
You can purchase the new Lutheran Study Bible online. Just look for the cover at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
All right, so you missed your congregation's budget deadline, or your congregation turned down your request to join the Issues Etc. 300. Well, there's still a way to add your church to the Issues Etc. 300. Now, anyone who pledges $1,000 to Issues Etc. in the next year will add their congregation to the Issues Etc. 300. We'll promote your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc., and we'll publicize your congregation to the world.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.